This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. He lives in North Wales, but he loves the Isle of Man and sneaks over here as often as he can. He's retired after being a Baptist minister for over 30 years. He writes books, leads retreats, specifically on loss, loneliness and bereavement, and can often be heard talking about all manner of things on BBC Radio 4's Daily Service and BBC Radio Wales. He's Richard Littledale and he's back to tell us what he's up to now. And if you like reflective music, I'm sure you'll enjoy today's selection. Celtic music from the holy island of Lindisfarne in Northumberland by Keith Duke. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. And there'll be more of the music of Lindisfarne through the programme. I mentioned a few moments ago that my guest this morning is Richard Littledale, who was on the island for a few days recently. Richard, we haven't talked for ages, have we?
We haven't, but you know, I am fixed to a rather long piece of elastic which stretches between North Wales and the Isle of Man. And I'm pleased to say that I'm back, and sadly, I've only had about a four-day visit so far this year. So plenty of excuses to come back. That's the point.
Well, we like that. But Richard, really the purpose of this is to catch up. Your love of words is at the core of your being, and the use of words and good communication has always been at the very heart of your ministry. And also, I think, maybe the spur for the new thing that you're doing now.
My love for words started in primary school. You know, I was one of those children who would write more than they were asked to, or would just write a poem and take it into school. I love the creative use of language. Because it makes a difference. The way we use words can forge a relationship or start a war. They're incredibly powerful things. And so it was a huge privilege for 35 years to use words in a context of ministry, where you're dealing with people in the happiest and saddest moments of their lives. And the choice of the right words can make all the difference. Now, throughout those 35 years, or most of it, I was combining my regular church ministry with the ministries of writing books and in the later few years, broadcasting on BBC Radio, on Radio 2 and Radio 4. Then I retired and continued to write books. And I've now made a sort of halfway step across from that into podcasting, which I see almost as being a halfway point between writing the books and between the radio. Now, I say that because obviously I'm responsible for what I say, but I'm also responsible for producing it and getting the finished product together. And if I write a book, it's probably 9 months between me submitting the book and it then coming out, and then it might be another 3 months until I start getting some kind of response to it. To me, the beauty of podcasting is I could sit down now and in about 3 hours' time, I could have an episode ready. I could hit the go button, and by tomorrow, there could be people responding to it. And you know this, Judith, because you have a relationship with your audience. And that's something that I'm loving. And it's not something that I've ever particularly had through the writing ministry. So it's a new departure. It's not very different to everything else I've done, but it shakes up all the ingredients and pours them out in a different way.
Richard, we've been talking about your move into podcasting and contacting people that you will never, ever meet, which is very different to a church congregation, isn't it, who become your friends?
It is, but you know, I've always felt there's a great intimacy to radio broadcasting because you're there in the kitchen, you're there in the car, you know, you're there in the sitting room, sometimes you're there on the bedside table. There's that great possibility of connecting with people, which is why I love it. But that very open marketplace of communication, I think, puts an onus on those of us who do it for particular reasons to do it well. You know, all my life, my communication has been driven by a desire to communicate for God's sake with people. And that's what I'm doing through the podcasting now. So rather than me feeling that this vast marketplace of communication dilutes what is necessary, I think it concentrates it. It puts the onus on those of us who are doing it, particularly those of us who have prior experience of other media, to do it as well as we possibly can. Content is what excites me.
And content is key to any podcast. So, was the loss of his beloved wife Fiona to cancer when she was just in her early 50s and the time of grief and change that followed, was that the reason that Richard Littledale chose the theme of friendship for his first series of podcasts?
When I moved to North Wales, I moved to a place where I knew nobody. I had no family there, I had no connections, and that was deliberate. I wanted to go somewhere with no memories. The whole adjustment period for me to being A, bereaved, B, out of a job because I'd retired, and C, in a new place. You know, that was all very disorientating. In that landscape, my friends have become more important to me than ever. And my friends became the people who could help me to chart that journey. Sometimes just by having a cuppa, and sometimes by sitting at their kitchen table and saying, I feel lost. And they would, you know, help me to find my way again. I'm so grateful for that. So grateful. And it really made me think about how vital friendship is to our lives. And because of my background and because of my faith, my instinct with something like that is to say, but what does this mean spiritually? What does God have to say about friendship? How does it make me function differently as a friend because I'm a Christian, or doesn't it? And so I wanted to look into all of that. And one of the great delights about a topic like friendship is that it's not niche. It's not the preserve of religious people. Everybody's got something to say about it. And my early research for this podcast series was to go into my beloved local coffee shop, and with their permission, to put cards on tables where I invited people to complete the sentence, to me, a friend is. And you know, Judith, I got nearly 60 of them. And I had some written by children in brown crayon. I had some written by adults where they'd done the writing really tiny so they could cover the whole card. I had ones with coffee stains on, one with a bit of cake on it. It was just wonderful because everybody had something to say about friendship. I think genuine friendship brings out the best in both friends, where you can be honest with each other about the good and the bad things. And friendship is a covenant. You know, a covenant is where both parties are committed to something which is greater than either of them. And to me, a real friendship is that. It's where the friend and I have both said to each other, this is good for us. And overall, it's good for the world that, you know, we are connected in this way because it brings out the best in us. I think it's very important to recognise that as precious as friendships are, they change and evolve and occasionally come to an end. And we need to be able to deal with that.
So are those the kind of things that you would explore in your podcasts?
Yes, yes. So there's a whole episode all about, you know, what do I do when a friendship is coming to an end? You know, as a Christian, I live my life by the rules of forgiveness. My mother used to say, oh, forgive and forget. You can't force yourself to forget things. Only God can do that. So as a Christian, you would want your friendships to echo the way that God treats you. And how does he treat you? With immense grace and with forgiveness and with a heart of compassion that says, I think this person's wonderful. He might not be behaving wonderfully today, but I think he's wonderful. And I think when that becomes the kind of essence of your friendship, because you want to echo the way that God has treated you, it probably does make you hold those friendships differently and cherish them differently.
So we've got the podcast, and you put this out presumably each week?
Yes, yeah, it goes out every Friday.
And where could we find it, Richard?
Everywhere, really. Anywhere that you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple or Amazon or Spotify. Or...
on all the usual platforms. Yeah. But what do we search for?
It's called Bespoke Words. That's all you need to look for. And you'll find it with a logo, with a little black logo with a microphone in the middle. And it says Bespoke Words by Richard on the logo, which is what it is.
As Richard was telling us about his podcasts that can be found on all the usual podcast platforms by searching for Bespoke Words, I then asked a very stupid question. So stupid that I've cut it out of the interview. I asked Richard if going into podcasting meant that he wasn't writing any more books. How wrong could I be? He's got a new book and it's just published this weekend.
Well, I've always been fascinated by the stories in the Bible. I was very fortunate to have somebody when I was a teenager called Gerald, who would sit down on an armchair and we would all spill around the floor, as teenagers tend to do. And he would tell us stories from the Bible, mainly Old Testament, but both. But as I've gone on as a preacher and a teacher, I have found myself with an increasing appetite to know what happened next. See, it's a story that we know very well, feeding of the 5,000. And there's a little teaser line at the end that says, there were 12 baskets left over. And I've always thought, well, who got the baskets? Where did they go? Who had fish for their tea? Who explained where they'd come from? And so that hair starts running. And so I thought, well, do you know, I think I'd like to pursue that a little bit further. So the book is called What Happened Next, because it's about what happened next. And it takes 52 Bible stories, some well known, some not, and does exactly that. Says, let's have a think about what might have happened next. So what I've done, each time I will give you the Bible story itself, and then I'll give you my imagined version of what happened next. Then I'll ask you to stop and reflect. Then I'll give you something to do, whether it's to phone a friend or donate to a charity. And then I'll give you something to pray about. So it's quite an active book. It encourages you to take the Bible passage as a springboard, to dive into it and then come out the other side with something to do and something to reflect on and something to pray about. Also, towards the end of the book, I actively encourage the readers to disagree with me, because I think you may well listen to one of these. You think, well, I'm sure that's not what happened. Do you know, that's absolutely fine. Because if it makes you think about what you reckon happened, then my job is done, because you've read that Bible passage twice.
But this is surely what the Bible is all about, to read and reflect and see what it says to us in our particular circumstance.
Well, I think it is. It's an active reading. It's not intended to be a passive experience whereby we simply absorb the story and say, well, I'll read another one tomorrow. it's supposed to be an experience where we say, well, I've read that, but why does it matter? And how does it affect me?
Inevitably, I'm going to ask you, Richard, please, would you read a little bit from the book for us?
I will. What I'll do, I'll read you the Bible story first, if I may, and then we'll plunge in, shall we? And see what, okay, so here's the Bible story. This chapter is called The Abandoned Cloak. And here's a reading from Mark chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Next. Do you remember Bartimaeus? Of course I remember Bartimaeus. Everybody remembers Bartimaeus. Many of us grew up with him as a fixture on this particular corner of the road. Every day, even high days and holy days, he would be here begging for alms. I suppose he could feel his way here along the buildings and past the gnarled olive tree on the corner. Each day he would reach his spot, unlace his cloak, set it on the ground and sit down on it. A bit like setting up his stall for the day. I don't suppose he ever knew what colour it was, did he? I did, though. Often I'd admired its hue and the fine weave of its threads. What a shame, I thought, that its wearer never gets to see its qualities. At least he never got to see the dust all across it at the end of each day, though. Would he even know if he saw it about my shoulders now? I was there on the day when Bartimaeus found his voice and shouted down the crowd to attract the attention of Jesus as he passed by. I was there when the world stopped and Jesus summoned him. Mine were the hands helping him to his feet and pointing him in the direction of the Saviour. Theirs were the briefest of conversations, but it changed Bartimaeus forever. From that moment, he looked forward and up and around, but never back. He followed Jesus down the road to Jerusalem and left the cloak behind. Like everybody else, I stayed around to gasp and wonder and chatter at the miracle which we'd witnessed. After that, some followed Jesus and his crowd down the road, and others drifted back to their homes. I was left, quite literally, holding his cloak. I took it home, washed it, mended a tear in the hem, and now I wear it almost every day. It's not mine, of course, but I shall hold on to it until the rightful owner returns. I stand on this corner every morning, hoping to catch sight of him. Of course, if I do, I shall have to cry out, since he knows my voice, but has never seen my face. When he does, I shall unlace this cloak from my shoulders, drape it about his like a royal robe on the shoulders of a homecoming king, and maybe ask him if he or his friend Jesus can help me to see things a little more clearly.
Spirit of love, enfold and teach us. Spirit. Spirit of change.
Richard, you're absolutely right. We don't know what happened. But in some way, it enriches that story because it fills out the character of Bartimaeus and the cloak, the most precious thing that anybody owned. And here's this man who saw it all happen and he knows he'll give the cloak back one day and he looks for Bartimaeus. You've made a whole humanity out of it and made the story even more memorable. And that's a very powerful thing to do, isn't it?
And that's exactly the intention, really, that by picking up on that little detail, suddenly we find ourselves in the story and we find the story in us. Because we've been in moments where we've seen something wonderful happen to somebody in response to a prayer, perhaps. Now, we can just go away and say, well, that was lovely for them. But I think quite often we walk away and think, oh, my goodness, didn't realise that sort of thing could happen. And that really is the intention, that if you like, it extends the life of these Bible stories. Even having written it, I've just read that to you now, and I'm now thinking about it again and think, oh, what a change that was. What an impact that was.
And you wrote it.
The thing to reflect on says sometimes our response to Jesus is so cautious, polite and measured. For Bartimaeus to leave his one valuable item of clothing behind was a measure of how profound was the impact of Jesus upon him.
Spirit of love, enfold and teach us. Spirit of peace, rest deep within. Spirit of
Dear God, I love to see the prayers of other people answered, like watching that blind man go off down the road sighted. Sometimes I still long for mine, which are awaiting an answer, though. Maybe today could be that day.
Spirit divine, Spirit of love, enfold and teach us. Spirit of peace, rest deep.
Then, under the title Act On It, find a Christian charity today who are working with those who are blind, as Bartimaeus once was, or partially sighted. If I were sitting in the office of that charity and I got that phone call or that email, I'd think, my goodness, somebody cares about what we're doing. The fact they've got in touch will give that person a boost. And this whole book, the subtitle talks about ripple effects of Bible stories. And the premise of the book is that nobody walks away from an encounter with God unchanged. Nobody. And the hope is that that will happen with the reader as well.
I've had the privilege of talking to you several times about your books, Richard, but every time, whatever the book might be about, all you're trying to do is to try to get people to meet God in a different and a life-enriching way. Is that really the bottom line?
Totally. And I used to spend a lot of time training preachers, and I would talk about their relationship with the Bible. And I would say, don't stand in front of it so people can only see you and not the Bible. Don't stand behind it, because otherwise they might just as well read the Bible at home. Stand beside it and point at it and say, have you seen? Have you seen what's in here? And I suppose all these books are doing the same thing. They've said, have you seen what's going on here? And if it brings somebody away from that excited, my work is done.
I somehow feel that Richard Littledale will always be finding new thoughts and ideas to share. What Happened Next by Richard Littledale is available from all online booksellers, and Church's Bookshop inside St Thomas's Church here in Douglas will be happy to order it for you. Richard's weekly podcasts can be found by searching for Bespoke Words on all the usual podcast providers, and Richard has a Facebook page where you can meet him, along with Ginny the Lurcher and a brand new friend called Gladys. Just go to facebook.com/Richard Littledale. And my thanks to Richard for being our guest today. And we finish with, as usual, a look at our notice board. And unfortunately, we've got to start with news of a cancelled service. The Mariners service in Jerby Parish Church, which was due to take place tonight, that's been cancelled.
There is currently scaffolding outside the church, and in view of the forecasted high winds, there's concern for the safety of people going in and out of the building. So no mariners' service in Jerby tonight, but it's hoped to reschedule this for late spring next year. And of course, I'll let you know when that happens. So the next mariners' service will be next Sunday, the 21st, at 6:30 in Kirkmichael Methodist Church, when the preacher will be Reverend Brian Yardie, but no mariners service in Jerby Parish Church tonight. Now, two special celebrations that will be happening later today. This afternoon, there'll be a harvest celebration concert in Sulby. It's a harvest festival cantata with Gareth Moore and the Balagueri Singers. It's in Sulby Methodist Church, the one at the crossroads in Sulby Village. It's this afternoon at 2:30, and admission is £10, which includes refreshments after the concert. And this evening, there's a special cafe church in Ballabeg Methodist Chapel. Come along tonight at 6:30 for tea and tunes, craft and quiz, and fun and prizes. That's all in Ballabeg Methodist Chapel tonight at 6:30, and everyone is welcome. Tomorrow, Monday the 15th, it's time for another community lunch in All Saints Hall in Alexander Drive here in Douglas. There's always a theme for these very popular lunches, and this time it's back to school, with cheese and bacon pie and jam sponge and custard on the menu. And yes, there will be a vegetarian option available. For a delicious school dinner tomorrow between noon and 1:30, head to All Saints Hall in Alexander Drive here in Douglas. There's no set charge for this lunch. Donations are always welcome, but there's no pressure to pay. Also tomorrow, the 15th, it's the annual general meeting of the Friends of St Jude's Church, which is in the parish of the Northern Plain. It'll be held in the church on St Jude's Road tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. On to Thursday the 18th, and it's time for another simple lunch in the Cool Chapel Hall just above the Isle of Man Business Park in Braddon. Homemade soup, desserts and hot drinks will be served at the Cool this Thursday between noon and 2 p.m. Everyone's welcome to share in good food and great company. There's still one more concert to enjoy in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin. Their series of summer concerts finishes this Thursday night with music from Russian Silver Band. The concert starts at 7:30 with free admission, refreshments afterwards and a retiring collection. Moving on to next Saturday, the 20th, and Pauline Ellis Brew will be giving an organ recital of popular music in the Christian Science Church on Woodbourne Road here in Douglas between 1 and 2 p.m. Admission is free, but donations, which will be used for the upkeep of Orisdale Chapel, would be appreciated. Mike Derber is the supporting artist. Also on Saturday the 20th, there's an afternoon quiz in Onchan Methodist Church. It starts at 3 p.m. with free entry and coffee and cakes to follow after all the brain work. Next Saturday evening, the 20th, it's the very popular Glen May Harvest in the Barn. Next Saturday evening at 6:30. As usual, it's at Ballacregan Farm on Sound Road in Glen May, by kind permission of Gordon and Claire Clegg. There'll be traditional harvest hymns and readings with music led by Crosby Silver Band, and the preacher is Louise Whiteleg. After the service, there'll be supper and an auction of produce, with all proceeds supporting the work of Glen May Chapel. And that's all that we've time for now. But I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, your invitation to join me in our virtual lounge for late night easy listening with your requests and dedications. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening. And I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
Stay.